Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Neil, thank you very much for that. We're returning now to our main story, and as you heard there in the headlines, the British government is to establish a full statutory public inquiry into the 1989 murder of Belfast solicitor Pat Finucane. He was shot dead by loyalist paramilitaries at his home in front of his wife and children. His family have campaigned for decades for an inquiry into suspected state collusion in his killing. Well, we're joined now by Michael Finucane, son of Pat Finucane. And Michael, you're very welcome to the programme this evening. A decades-long campaign for you and your family. How do you feel today?
Thank you, Sarah. We feel very pleased, some relief, but feeling a sense of vindication after such a long campaign to try to persuade the British government to establish a full statutory public inquiry into my father's murder. It was something that was the subject of agreement back in 2001, but didn't happen in the ensuing years for various reasons. But we feel that the commitment that the current Secretary of State has given is for an inquiry that will be meaningful and effective and capable of exposing the truth.
Hilary Benn, the Secretary of State, he came to you yesterday, you and the family, to tell you what was happening. Did you have any indication before that this was going to go ahead?
No. We were assured that the meeting would be productive, but we weren't given any details. And the Secretary of State indicated what he proposed to do, but due to the applicable protocols, it wasn't possible to make the information public until the Secretary of State had made a statement in the House of Commons. But his engagement with us was forthright. Certainly, it was more courteous and more respectful than many's the Secretary of State who preceded him. And it gives one grounds for cautious optimism. Obviously, an inquiry is a complex process, and there are some sensitive issues to be addressed throughout the course of the inquiry. But we feel that we have been granted a forum and a mechanism that is, as I say, at least capable of getting to the truth of this case.
Most people, I think, Michael, are very familiar with what happened to your father, Pat. But perhaps, if you don't mind, you could remind us of that night in February 1989.
Well, we were at home and there was a loud bang from the front door, and men came into the kitchen and shot my dad while we were having dinner. It was a horrific event and one that I think will never leave any of us. But I suppose in some ways the campaign for an inquiry has been somewhat cathartic over the years and has helped to process and deal with the horror of what commenced it, really.
And why do you think there has been so much resistance, at times at the very highest levels of British government, to an inquiry?
Well, if even a kind of a cursory overview of what's known about the case is considered by anyone, I think the reason why the British establishment was so resistant to it becomes clear. The facts of the case are that agents within loyalism and at the behest of Army Intelligence, MI5 and the RUC Special Branch Unit conspired to facilitate the murder of Pat Finucane. It's clear from internal documents that his life was in danger for quite a number of years before the murder was actually carried out. It's clear that his name and reputation were actively attacked, besmirched, and his work and professional practices were discredited in a very systemic way. He wasn't the only person who was the target of this. Other lawyers were also similarly targeted. although thankfully they were not killed. But all of this adds up to a conspiracy to assassinate someone who was engaging in work that was bringing the state into a bad light, highlighting illegal and unethical practices, and really putting him in the position of being an enemy of the state who needed to be gotten rid of. And all of that points to a powerful motivation by the British government and the British establishment in general, not to let the facts of this case be brought out into the public eye. And indeed, we know that over the years, many, many attempts have been made to suppress information. And even in, during the course of one investigation by an international judge, we learned that agents of the security services broke into the judge's offices and removed some of the material and documentation that he had gathered in the course of his investigation. So the establishment, the British establishment, I think, will go to any lengths to cover its tracks in this particular case. But now they will find that extremely difficult because a public inquiry vehicle is to be established, and it's much more difficult to cover up what you're doing or what you have been doing when you're under the full glare of publicity.
Mm. And yet I can hear the caution in your voice. You know, you are obviously very much welcoming this announcement today, but very understandably cautious at this point. Do we know how this inquiry will be conducted? Do we have any idea what its terms of reference will be? And what would you like to see in that regard?
Well, the short answer to your question is no. The terms of reference have not been set as yet, to our knowledge, nor has a chairperson of the inquiry been appointed either. Those are things that we hope to have an input into, but ultimately they are decisions for the British government to take. However, I think there's some cause for optimism and confidence because this is such a high-profile case. It's built slowly over nearly four decades, but it is now one of international news interest and of interest to political establishments and governments across the world. The Irish government, through successive Taoiseach, Bertie Ahern, Brian Cowan, and so on and so forth, right through to the current Taoiseach, Simon Harris, have all kept a close eye on the case and displayed a keen interest, as have successive American presidents. With that in mind, the mechanisms and the internal workings of the inquiry will all come under close scrutiny. And again, when you bring something like that out into the light and you subject it to scrutiny and analysis from many quarters, it becomes very, very hard for any agency to subvert it or try to prevent it from carrying out its work effectively.
And of course, crucial to all of that when you're talking about different agencies will be MI5. And you mentioned former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern there. He was speaking to the News at 1 here on RT Radio 1 a little earlier on. And he said MI5 cooperation is going to be critical in order to get a fair and accurate inquiry. He pointed out they didn't cooperate into the investigation of the Dublin Monaghan bombings. How confident are you? And I know you've laid out the reasons why you think this might be different, but how confident are you that it will be different and they will cooperate?
Well, a statutory public inquiry gives you the best chance that you can have of ensuring the cooperation of an agency like MI5. I mean, one of the reasons that my family has not been satisfied with the reviews and investigations that have preceded this announcement is that none of them were public, but also, none of them had powers of compulsion, powers to make agencies cooperate if it was not felt that they were doing so. We know what we're dealing with MI5. We know that they have their own agenda, and they will often pretend that, you know, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing, or come up with any excuse to sort of conceal their involvement in intelligence activities and even breaking the law. But, you know, as ambidextrous as they might be, they cannot figure out a trick of sleight of hand to get around the statutory compulsive powers of a public inquiry under the Inquiries Act. The first engagement with the inquiry may well be by way of request, but if that request is either ignored or even not fully honoured, well then compulsive powers can quickly follow. And if those compulsive powers of summons to witnesses or compulsion of the production of documents, if they're not obeyed, well then you're talking contempt of court. And it may be a gradual process, and they may have to be dragged kicking and screaming, but the mechanism is now there. And it seems that the British government is committed to using that mechanism. And I think there are many people, my family included, who will ensure that it is done in exactly that way.
I don't know, did you raise any concerns in particular about MI5 and their cooperation with Hilary Benn, or if you could share that with us?
No, we're at absolute ground zero in terms of the establishment of this inquiry. I mean, the news that an inquiry was going to be established is less than 24 hours old as far as we're concerned. The issues like the chairperson, the terms of reference and so on and so forth will be ironed out over, I would imagine, the coming months.
Okay.
When it comes to dealing with agencies like MI5 or British Army Intelligence and the people who used to work in those agencies on Northern Ireland issues and run the agents who, at one point, every single agency was denying they ever ran in the north of Ireland, all of those things will have to be teased out very carefully. But as I say, we have the mechanism now. We have the vehicle with which to carry out the most effective investigation possible. And that is what my family are committed to seeing happen and to completing the exercise that we've been working on now for 35 years.
And we heard there in the news headlines your mother Geraldine speaking at the press conference earlier today. She was saying this could be a watershed moment in the difficult issue of legacy. She said if it can finally publicly examine all of the collusion that plagued our society for so many years, then there is hope the real process of healing can begin. I just wanted to ask you, I'm sure you do agree with that, but I wanted to ask you your thoughts on that. But also, if it doesn't do what she says she hopes it will do, could this damage the process of healing, do you think, in Northern Ireland?
In order for a society to move beyond a phase of conflict, such as we've seen in the north of Ireland, and that has affected, I think, every person on the entire island of Ireland, certain fundamentals, I think, have to be observed and respected and implemented. One of the most fundamental things is respect for the rule of law. Now, when you have a solicitor who is murdered in the circumstances of Pat Finucane, when you have the constant cover-up and conspiracy that has taken place within the establishment to prevent people from knowing the circumstances behind that murder, then irreparable damage can be done to society's respect for the rule of law. The establishment of a public inquiry like this, in a case where many people, and they've said it to me, many people felt an inquiry would never happen. And they didn't say it maliciously, they said it with sincere concern for my family. But they simply didn't believe that a public examination of all the facts, all the evidence, and all the information in the murder of Pat Finucane would ever be permitted. And yet here we are. And if it can happen in this case, as bad as it is, and as murky as it is, and controversial as it is, I think you have to have hope that respect for the rule of law can finally be established in a really meaningful way. And other people can take confidence from that and say, well, if the establishment is willing to own up to what it did in the case of Pat Finucane, then maybe we really have turned a corner. Maybe we really can start to look at our past and come to terms with it and maybe move on from it in a way that really helps society heal. And I believe that. I know my mother believes that. That's why she said it today. And certainly what we've seen up until now has not helped. The concealment and the obstruction has done no good at all. So we can only hope that the opposite of that, which is what we're about to see, can have the opposite effect. And that's what we will work towards.
Michael Finucane, thank you so much for joining us in the programme this evening.
Thank you.